do we acknowledge the word holy at all? Like the Spirit. Very important that the only Spirit that we are moved by is the Holy Spirit. And yet there are many other spirits that clamor for our attention. But in Ephesians 5:27, it says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's speaking about us here, the church. And then 2 Peter 3:14 says, Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. In our generation, we have a lot of people in this country that we love to talk about God, country, and guns. Now, I like all three of them. I love God, and I love my country, and I have a lot of firearms. I hope that we're not being tapped here, but that's just who we are in Montana. We have firearms. We hunt, and we shoot, and we like our guns. But that's not our religion. God, country, and guns. Maybe you'll put up a do not tread flag on the wall and kind of solidify who you are and that you're not going to take anything from anybody. You know, so be it. But that is not holiness. But I fear that sometimes we as a country have veered away from when we talk about God, we're cool with that. God, I love God. Yeah, you know, everybody loves God and we all love the good old USA and the Constitution and all those things. And again, I'm not against any of it. Don't look at me funny that way. I'm not against any of it. I'm just saying that is not holiness. That is a different kingdom. That is not holiness. That is not the Spirit of God in you that raised you from the dead. It's God is, of course, but I'm just saying that Spirit that wants to talk about those three things but does not want to talk about the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ and his holiness in our daily life. That is a concern to me. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You're a holy nation. That is speaking about the church, a peculiar people. Once I preached a message on that verse, and I got out of that the Greek meaning, the real meaning behind peculiar. I used to think everything peculiar was you were an oddball. Well, in a sense, you kind of are. You kind of are odd. You're not exactly normal today if you love Jesus and you have holiness and you walk in righteousness. You are not exactly normal. And that's all right because it's a good peculiar. And this word actually means beyond usual or beyond normal. Isaiah 6:1-3, I want to get that verse real quick because he puts that word in there three times. In the year, verse 1, Isaiah 6:1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And he cried, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy, holy, holy. Now, as R.C. Sproul, is he still alive? I'm not sure if he's passed away. He's passed away. Yeah, I thought he was. He was a pretty powerful speaker in his day. But he said, note that it does not say in the scripture that he is love, love, love. It does not say that he is mercy, mercy, mercy. But it does say that he is holy, holy, holy. I thought that's an interesting note there. And R.C.'s idea of what the word holy meant was that you are a cut above. That's kind of today's terminology that he used, that you, when you are holy, you are a cut above. Now, I almost think that doesn't sound reverent enough for God, but certainly he is that. Certainly God is that and way, way, way more than a cut above. But yeah, this speaks to me of a special, chosen, peculiar, beyond the normal, beyond just speaking about the wonderfulness of our country and our freedom and all those things. There's something in us, something supernatural, something far above what we were when we were yet sinners. I'm sure that you, all of us that are born again, can relate to that. I don't know. I mean, I don't like to dwell a lot on the past and the things that I once was, except to remember what he's called me out of. But I'll tell you what, I know what it's like to live without hope. I know what it's like to live without a purpose in life. Oh, I thought I had purpose, but it was all about me. And I thought I knew what life was. But that's the dramaticness of when God's righteousness enters in you through Jesus, and his holiness is your life. And that is what you want. That's what you want to lift up, is his holiness and his righteousness. That is life-changing. That is supernatural. How do we find holiness? Do we just, like Solomon said, make a whole bunch of laws and just make everything look real good? You know, there's churches that call themselves holiness churches, and they're noted to have their top button shut, you know, and always wear long sleeves. And I'm not here to make fun of that. If they want to do that and they feel that's modesty, then so be it. But I'm telling you, you're not going to come and know and be holy from trying to start on the outside. When you are holy and you're righteous, there's something that, an operation of God that happens in your heart first. And then, yes, there are works that come out, but you do not come before God by doing outward. You come before God by allowing his Son to come into your heart and change you. And I hope that all of us that are of the age of accountability have made that choice. To be holy is commanded per the word of God, as we will see in all these scriptures. It is commanded to be holy. It is something that we are asked, according to the word, to walk and follow after. In fact, in Hebrews 12, verse 14 and 15, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, that's a bold statement right there. Follow peace with all men and holiness. You know, I think that we put a premium on having peace with all men, and I do believe that's important. But I don't believe in ecumenicalism, where we desire peace so bad that we compromise the scriptures and we put aside holiness to try to find peace. We know better than that. It says to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And I'm telling you, I'm concerned about the church in general, that we so badly want to have peace, we so badly want to be thought well by everybody and of everybody, that we will lay aside holiness and righteousness and the word of God so that we can have peace. Let's be careful with that. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That was the very next verse after he told us to walk after, to follow after, to seek peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And then he said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I see too much of a generation that wants to be liked and approved and at peace with all men. I see this especially start in the political world. They want to be at peace. They take polls and they see what's popular with the people. And then that's their stand many times. They take polls. Oh, yeah, it's popular that I take this stand. So then I think we're going to come forth and make this part of our platform. Well, there's probably things that we could do here in this church and take stand, and we could probably poll the people of the county and see what they want, and we could probably fill this place up. But we don't want that, do we? We want the approval of God. We want the Holy Spirit to have rule and approve what goes on here. But I see a generation that wants to be approved and to be at peace, and at times comes across like they're ashamed of the gospel. We don't want that. We want to be holy. We want to be a generation who follows peace with all men where we can, but holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. It is very important that we are holy and that we follow after holiness. I'm going to turn to a couple more scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. So I'm going to go back a few verses to get a little bit more of the context here. But it says, starting in 1 Peter 1, verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lusts in your ignorance. It's like I was saying, was my life experience. I was lustful. I was ignorant. I was fashioning my life after that. It says in verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. He said, as it is written, and if you go back, where was it written? It was written in Leviticus. I'm not sure that I wrote down the chapter, the reference. Yeah, I did. It is written in Leviticus 20, verses 7 and 8. It says, sanctify therefore yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. So it was written in the old, and it is written in the new covenant as well, where he says, be ye holy. So this is a light thing with God. He brought it, he wrote it in the old, in Leviticus, and then he brought it again into the New Testament. Over and over we read about his holiness and that we're to follow after that holiness. So I believe it's an important subject for us today. If we look in the Greek translations, I'm not a Greek scholar by any imagination, but it does denote like blameless, religious, consecrated, most holy, saint, purity from defilement. These are all words that were in there. There was another one in number 3741 in the Strong's Concordance. Says, by intrinsic or divine character. Divine character, I think that's pretty powerful. But it certainly speaks of a set apart, free from defilement of the world, free from the impurity, the sinfulness, the hatefulness, we could go on and on today, and we're not going to, because I don't want to focus. I don't think there's life in the things that are evil. But we could go on and on today of the things that are going on in this world that are evil and that are made so available for our generation with all the technology and all those kind of things. They're so available, and people give themselves into this stuff so much. But he that is holy does not go down that road. We can take this to mean that it is pure, it is undefiled from the world, and we all agree that God is holy. We sing songs about God being holy. We read hundreds of scriptures about the holiness of God, and the holy angels and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. We read over and over, there is holy, holy, holy. Again, this is very important, I believe, in our day. Having said all that, one has a right to ask, well, how is one holy? Can a person live so good and perfectly that he is holy? Going to happen. You cannot do that. You know, you look on the outward and you say, wow, that, you know, if you could do that, like we were in the airport last Sunday, spent the whole day roaming around in there. And, you know, you look at these Muslim women who are in there, and they have these huge dresses on, these massive head covering. And I guess if you were not spiritual and you did not look at the Holy Spirit, you could say, wow, that person looks holy. But that is not what holiness is. You can have that thing on, and three layers of it, and so be so dead on the inside. So it has to start with Jesus Christ in your heart. Is he Lord of your life? Are you sold out to Jesus? Does he have room in your heart? Is he the Lord of your life? What is Jesus to you? Has he made you holy? In Jesus Christ, no one is righteous without Jesus. No one is holy without Jesus. Another fair question that you might ask, is everyone who names the name of Jesus then holy? No. Only those that know him, are known of him, and he is Lord of their life. And I will back that up with scripture as well. Matthew 7, verse 20 says, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So again, we come back to that religious folk that profess God. They profess that they love him, but then they deny him when they go against the word. They can be okay with adultery. They can be okay with fornication. They can be okay. You can't call out anything anymore. You just got to shut up and you serve your Lord. Don't judge. Don't say anything. They come back to that. Is everyone that says they love Jesus automatically in? Jesus said it very plainly. I don't need to reiterate that. But we have to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And there is a way that we can mingle in this world around us and all these things going on, and be holy and yet not be obnoxious. There's a way to do that. You know, I think most of us have seen those people that are, you know, they're just so strong on everything, and they're just not pleasant to be around. There's just not a lot of joy coming out of their life. And again, I'm not here to pick on how somebody else presents the gospel, but if you're going to present the gospel as holiness, the Holy Spirit, there's got to be some joy somewhere. There's got to be some love come out of your life somewhere. There's got to be some smiles. I mean, if it's in your heart, let your face and your life show it. Holiness isn't angry. Holiness isn't crooked. It's not just wham, wham. I mean, there's some love, there's some peace, there's some joy that comes out of that because you know where you are. You know where you stand. There's something in your heart that cries holy, that cries righteous, and the world can look on that and see it. But it is not to yoke yourself together in their unrighteousness. So, we have to know that we're born again. The scriptures tells us to examine ourselves. Do you know that you were born again? If you say yes, then why? Why do you know that? Just because you've always went to church? Examine ourselves, it says. And in our text, which I made, 1 Peter 1, verse 15, it says, "So you be ye holy in all manner of conversation." Now, this conversation is not talking just about the things that come out of your mouth, but like your life's behavior. Be holy in all manner of conversation. This includes speech, of course, but it also means the things we do, how we love, how we relate one to another, the words come out of my mouth. So be holy in all manner of conversation. I'm going to get another little passage of scripture in Peter. I find he has a lot to say about this subject, but in 1 Peter 3, verse 9, Second Peter 3, 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That is who our God is. He doesn't want any to perish, but wants all to come to repentance. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." I'd like to just look a little bit again at verse 11. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Now I remember before I was born again, I used to have a terrible foul mouth and I swore a lot. And that verse, when I started reading the scriptures, really spoke to me. And I took that as literal speech. And I tried to memorize that verse so that I could remember that. I want to be in relation to this. I want to be mindful. Who should I be in all holy conversation? But again, I think this word comes down to it's more than that. It is your life and my life's behavior. It is a holy conversation. Totally, across the board. So how do we find our own life's conversation, our speech, attitudes? Are we drawn into the things of the world? Would our friends looking at our life say that we are drawn to the world or that we live a holy life? Is it fair to say that our friends, they can see? They cannot always judge. Sometimes people can get it wrong because We don't know everything about everybody. We do not know each other's heart like God does. Man looks on the outward, but God sees the heart of each one of us. And so it's easy for us to sometimes look on outward, and we can make judgments, and we can come across pretty strong in our judgments. But yet, those that are nearest to you can also look at you and know what is coming forth out of your life. Know, can always see the hidden things that are hidden in your heart. They can tell if you are drawn to the world or you're drawn to God and the things of his life and his holiness. Many times. Again, that isn't cut and dried. I know there are a lot of religious people that look really good and they say the right things, but inwardly there's some really dead things. So I know that's not cut and dry, but when you're around somebody long enough and you walk together with them, you can often tell whether we're drawn to the Word or we're drawn to holiness. Perhaps we're saved and born again and washed in the blood, but are we drawn to the world? That's kind of a big question. Do we turn on the garbage and allow garbage in front of our eyes every day? Do we allow our ears to be assaulted with things that are just otherworldly, not of the kingdom of God? Do we allow our ears to be assaulted every day? There's so much available, so many places we could go that are not holy. Do we as fathers protect our homes against that which is unholy? Boy, I tell you, it's easy to let that slip. Do we protect the walls of our house? It's so easy to let that stuff come in. There's so many avenues now that this stuff can come in where, you know, 40 years ago we didn't have that. Pretty much what you brought in there was, you know, in a book or a VHS tape or an 8-track, or some of you kids probably don't know what that it stuff is, but these were real things that you brought music and movies in, big old tapes like that, and you pretty much, that's what was in your house is what you carried in the door. I don't know when cable TV came out. I didn't grow up with that. But now you have internet in your house. You open yourself up to all kind of garbage. You're allowing the possibility of all kind of spirits and ugliness and worldliness and things that are defiled and that are unholy, that are unrighteous, to come inside those walls. We allow the access there, and it's so important that we have our heart. It's like you said, Brother Solomon, we can put a law of our house. You know, like I have a law in my house, nobody has a TikTok app. Okay. Say, well, you're a legalist. That's fine. I don't like TikTok, and I don't let anybody have. I don't know if my kids all obey me. I don't take their phone and check them every day, but they know that the TikTok app is not supposed to be inside my house. That's where it is. And again, I don't get up every morning and say, phone check, phone check. I just don't do that. But they know that's what it is. And so there's different things like that, that we can make a law, but if their hearts are not right with you, they can still break that. They can still be doing things that they shouldn't. That's why we want to be holy and righteous and walking in the Holy Spirit. Because if you're not walking in the Holy Spirit, you're just walking in the legalist, in the laws of the legalist of the home. As soon as you get outside of that home, you go on a trip, you're away, and you're all alone, then the real test comes. What is going to come out of there? You know what? Again, I don't want to focus a lot on, you know, outward things. We all know it. I mean, this world is so troubled in every way, shape, or form. We look around us. You know, Josh brought up in prayer meeting yesterday morning about there's a couple of school kids somewhere in the southeast that want to identify as cats, and they're literally thinking about bringing litter boxes into the school. And I've had that confirmed by others. I mean, this stuff is ridiculous, people. And you say, well, I would never be that crazy. Let's just be real careful. If you start closing your eyes and your heart to the Word of God and to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, you will be amazed how fast you can slide downhill. Most of us know people that at one time they held the Word of God pretty dear. They were pretty on fire for the Lord, and then they kind of started buying into these lies and these things that were defiled and unholy, and it's amazing how fast you will slide if you allow yourself to be open to that kind of garbage. And maybe you're sitting here thinking, Well, I wouldn't want everybody to know what I watch on my phone because it's, you know, it's in your heart that it's not pure, but you think that you're strong enough and you have enough of a church and a strong enough family that you're going to get away. I'm telling you, be very careful. Because Satan, he is not content with just having one little part of your heart. He wants it all. He wants it all. He wants absolute every part of your being. He wants you dedicated to his service. And so I'm telling you, don't think it lightly. I'm telling you, do not take this lightly. You know, you think, well, God is such a God of, is he a God of love, 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 or is he a God of holy, holy, holy? He's all. He is a God of love, 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 but he is also a God of holy, holy, holy. You could ask Moses today, how did it go for you, Moses, when you went up to the rock and he told you to speak to the rock, and Moses got a little ticked off. He goes, wham! And water came out of there. It looked pretty good to the people, but was God pleased with that? God was not pleased with that. Why? Because God is a holy God. And in fact, I don't think I'll turn there, but in Numbers, we could go there. And the reason that he was not pleased, he said, you did not show me holy to the people. He did not show him holy to the people. He went up there and smacked that rock instead of doing what God told him. Does God have the first fruits of our life? Or do we just think, you know what, religion is something that I can just kind of call on whenever it looks, makes me look good. We're not about making us look good. We're about representing a God that is holy. And maybe you're like, you know what, I've given up on holy living. I've done nothing but fall and fail. I've given up. Look, God said, be holy for I am holy. He would not tell you to do that if it was just a dream. He would not tell you to be holy because I am holy if it was not attainable. You see, if you believe that it's not attainable, that in this world today that you're just going to have this sin in your life, and you're just going to be defeated, and yeah, the phone's too powerful, or my friends have too much. If you buy into that, you're believing a lie. God said, be holy for I am holy. He meant that. He has a plan for your life. You don't have to buy into that. But I think sometimes, I like how I like how he spoke, and he said, you know, you have to change your mentality. He said that, you know, the children of Israel, they went out, they left their slavery, right? They go leave their slavery, and they're out in the wilderness, and now they're a completely different setting. Brothers and sisters, you've got to think differently. As children of God that are called to be holy, you don't think like you did when you were yet in sin. You've got to change your mentality. If you think that I'm still in the same mess that I was before I got saved, the same sins have the same power over my life, you're just completely missing it. God has called you out of that darkness. He's called you into his glorious light. And so you got to stop thinking that you're a slave. You're not in Egypt anymore. You've left that. Get out of that mentality and stop allowing the things of the world and the things that are defiled and even people to defile you or cause you to sin against God. I know some of you are in hard places, and I know there's people in your life that make you go, and you don't like it. But are you going to allow that enslavement mentality to show you how to live your life? Are you going to allow that? Are you going to be enslaved to those people or those things or that stuff? You're not in Egypt. You are walking with the Lord today. Walk like it. I am holy because he is holy. I am righteous because Christ lives in my heart. I'm not walking like the world anymore. I don't care what the world has. You know, sometimes I cringe a little bit depending on some of it. You know, we take some pretty strong stands, and sometimes it kind of makes you cringe. What do people think? You know what? I really don't care what they think. I really don't care. Because you know what? I'm not seeing holiness coming out of their lives. I'm not seeing victory in Jesus. That matters to me. That matters to me. Now, I don't say that in an arrogant spirit. I'm just saying it doesn't matter what the approval or the thinking of man or the majority says. Doesn't matter. We cannot have a church like that. You know what? That's how we run our elections. We say that the majority guy or gal wins. And how does that work out for us? How does that work? I thank God that we have the Word. I thank God we have the Word to stand on. Romans 1, verse 4. All right, I'm going to try to work toward bringing this to an end. I hope that I've somewhat made my point. Romans 1, 4, it says, "And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." Spirit of holiness. Are you resurrected from the dead today? Then there's a spirit of holiness that declares that. There's a declaration that has happened in heaven. The power to be holy does not come on our own will. But we can choose to put away the things of the world and call upon the things of God, and He can make you to be holy. I want to get a few more verses in Revelations. I think they're beautiful verses. Revelation 4, verse 8. It says, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy." Again, holy, 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 three times. "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." And then in Revelation 22, verse 10, just a few chapters back, I think it's the last chapter in the Bible. Revelation 22:10. It says, "And he said unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they which do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters." I think you can see here what is not holy. "And whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." So what he's saying there in verse 11, when you pass from this life, when you pass from this life, he that is unjust, you're going to still be unjust. He that is filthy, you're going to still be filthy. "He that is righteous, let him be righteous still." I know there's religions that pray for people after they die, and that's not reality. What you are when you take your last breath is who you will be. Like the brother that passed away from North Carolina, who he was when he laid down and took his final nap or whatever. I'm not sure how he laid down. Was it to nap or rest? But that's who he is when he stood before God. If he was holy, if you be holy, let him be holy still. Today you know where you are with God. You know where you stand with God. That which you are today, you know that. And God can help us. If you're in a place today where you're not sure where you are, you're just confused, you're not sure where you are, you don't know if you're holy or not, you know you're not in victory, and I would just invite you, according to verse 17, it says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Are you thirsty? He says, "Come. Take of the water of life freely." There is no other anything to do except just to come to him, Jesus Christ the righteous. Come and take of that water of life freely. The programs, this, that, all those other things that you tried so hard and you just miserably failed. Understand that. I understand. I totally get that. I'm not here to criticize you that, but I would just say for this, if you want and desire the righteousness and the holiness of God, it is here today to come and take of that water of life freely. You come, like they sang this morning, just as I am, without one plea. There's nothing in your hands that you bring, but you come and you drink of that water of life, and that water of life cleanses you and makes you a new person. It makes you righteous. It makes you holy. And then that Egypt mentality can go. That thing where you think that somebody else has mastery over your life, some person or entity or situation has mastery over your life, it can flee. It can go. You can tell it to get lost. You can say, I understand this situation, this person, this place that I am in life is miserable, and I'm unhappy about it, and I'm miserable. It can go. When you come and you drink of the water of life freely, and that thing does not affect you anymore, it might affect you, but it doesn't have to enslave you and control your life. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Be holy as I am holy. I hope that God made a point and laid on our heart the importance of this, and that he has called us to be holy. I'd like to close with a word of prayer, and I'm just going to ask anyone, if somebody's here and say, I've missed it, I'm tired of it, I'm tired of having an Egypt mentality, I want you to pray for me, then we'll take time and pray for you. We still have a little bit of time, but I'm going to pray and ask God just to move in our hearts, and then also bless the food. Did you bless the food when you prowl? Bless the food, and then we're just going to have a time if somebody wants prayer. We'll take that time, and we're going to close with a song that I really appreciate called Holy Forever. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. I thank you that this isn't something that it's just man's idea, but that it is so solidified through and through and through your word and your spirit. Your very spirit is holy. And so we invite that Holy Spirit to come into this place and just check every one of our hearts. If we've allowed things of the world to entice us and we've become friendly to the world and to the place where you resist us, Lord, show us that. Lord, if we have sins in our life that we're bound to and we know they're defiled, we're defiled by them, just show us that, Lord. If we have run after the things that are not of God, if we've had a mentality, an Egypt slave mentality, and we've, even as believers, stayed in that, and we've been miserable and unhappy and ungracious and unloving and unforgiving, Lord, show us that too, Lord. We want freedom. I just pray for a spirit of freedom in this place today. I pray that you would open, as we sang, open the windows of heaven and pour out your blessing, Lord. If there's any that sit here today and are bound in bondage and have the spirit of the world and the spirit of all those other things we don't want to name, anything that is not holy, Lord, we pray that you would bring conviction. And more than that, we pray that you would move them to take of the water of life freely and drink and thirst no more. God, open up heaven. Oh, Lord, we're so in need of you. We need you, Lord. Show us your ways and your heart. Give us deep love and compassion for each other, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the food. Bless it to our bodies. Bless all those that labored over it. God, we just open. We just thank you. We're just open to you to move among us, Lord. Work in our hearts, Lord. Let us live holy and run after holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would anyone like prayer? Is there anyone here that just says, you know what, the Lord wants me pray, he wants me to be free? Is there anyone? We're open to that. I know maybe it seems awkward for you, maybe not, doesn't matter. But if you feel like you've been defiled, or you've not really seen God as holy, and you've not lived that life, your mentality has stayed in Egypt, you want to be prayed for, All right. Very good. God bless you all. Thank you for listening. And I hope that if you have any questions for me, you feel like I left something unsaid or undone, or something you feel was said in a wrong, whatever, I want to hear from you and have a discussion about it. Yeah, let's just listen to this song, Holy Forever. No, that is who God is. And that is what God has called us. He has called us to be holy forever. He did not call us to be up here one day and down in the deep miry clay the next. He has called us to be holy and walk with him holy forever. God bless you all. Thank you.
Your face is all I see, and when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. Child. Your grace abounds to me.